dear God, this time of joy and concern, it's a tender time for communities of faith because we just lay it all bare in front of you. All of the wonderful things to celebrate seem so important to celebrate in light of all of the pain and devastation and despair in our world. When we hear about police officers killed, when we hear about fathers and sons, brothers murdered, when we hear about a coup in Turkey and terrorism in France, our hearts break open, God, and we are filled with fear. We grew up singing that song, "He's got the whole world in his hands." In times like this, God, we wonder if it's true. Do you have this world in your hands? It's an uncomfortable question until we hear words from the Apostle Paul. "There are many members, but one body, many gifts, but one spirit, many Christians, but one Christ." And when we hear those words, we are reminded that when one part of the body is aching, when one part of the body is broken, when one part of the body is hurting, the rest of the body hurts too. Though many of these things happen far away, they hit us close to our hearts. And that's because we are one body in this world. And so when we sing, "He's got the whole world in his hands," we can sing that it is true because we are your hands, God. We are your feet. We are your body. And by the grace of God, we will wrap this world in love. You are here with us in all of the particularities of our lives, all of the griefs and graces that we have named here today, and so many more that go unspoken on our hearts. You hear us and you hold us. And we pray for the courage and the patient persistence that it takes to be the body of Christ in such a time as this. We pray in Jesus' name and in the way that he taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever.
And McKenna's words in her sermon this morning were a reminder to me, and I hope to all of you, about the wonder and joy of just praising God. And I'm reading from the scripture first from 1 Chronicles chapter 29. Then David blessed the Lord in the presence of all the assembly. And David said, "Blessed are you, O Lord, the God of our ancestor Israel, forever and ever. Yours, O Lord, are the greatness, the power, the glory, the victory, and the majesty. For all that is in the heavens and on the earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head above all. Riches and honor come from you, and you rule over all. And in your hand are power and might, and it is in your hand to make great and give strength to all. And now, our God, we give thanks to you and praise your glorious name." And then from Ephesians, Paul's letter, chapter 3. "Now to him who by the power at work within us is able to accomplish abundantly far more than all we can ask or imagine, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen." And here ends the reading.
Thank you, Linda. According to CNN, a man with a gun opened fire on police officers in Baton Rouge on Sunday, injuring at least 7, including 3 who are feared dead. It's a breaking news situation, and I'm sure things will become clearer as the day continues. But we can be in prayer for a city in pain, a pain that has continued for a long time and began earlier this month with the shooting of Alton Sterling and continues today with more violence. We're going to go way over our time today. Just want to acknowledge that and say that in times like this, it's good to take the time to pray and to share with one another and to be together. Communities are broken when we don't know how to talk to each other. Communities are broken when we fear each other. Communities are broken when we can't show up. And so we're showing up here, and we're talking to each other, and we're praying together, and we are the body of Christ, even in a broken world. So as I prepare to preach this sermon, God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I'd like for you to imagine, it's hard right now, but imagine a sunset after a hard day. Or the first cry of a baby after birth. Or the stars on a clear, cool night. Or a yard full of fireflies on a summer evening. Or an unexpected waterfall on a hike that you just stumble across. What's the first thing you want to do when you see these things? Is it a gasp of wonder? A silent prayer of thanks to God for such beauty? I love those moments when you see or hear or experience something so beautiful that you hardly know what to say except, "Wow. Thank you, God." That's what the word doxology means, which is the hymn that we're talking about today. It means glory to God, or more literally, words of glory. Doxa means glory, and logos means word. Our scriptures for today are two examples of a doxology from our Bible. One Old Testament and one New, and anything can be a doxology. There's not really much of a formula to it. It's just something that says, glory to God, praise be to God. So the practice of giving glory to God with the words of our mouths is nothing new. In fact, it's probably about as old as it can get. So it's no surprise that those words from our scriptures, and there are so many more examples that I could have picked, have been adapted for our hymns. Many of the final verses of some of our beloved hymns in our hymnal are, in fact, doxologies. So when I first started learning about the doxology that we sing every Sunday after offering, I imagined that it was in response to something like the images that I just showed you. Some amazing, beautiful, wondrous thing. And the truth is, who wouldn't praise God in response to these beautiful things that we have just seen? But when I started learning about this song, I learned that the author of our beloved doxology wrote it for a much more mundane purpose. Thomas Ken, who was born in 1637, wrote many hymns, but among them, the three most famous ones, are titled Morning, Evening, and Midnight Hymns. And he wrote them while he was teaching at Winchester College. He wrote them because he advised the students there to sing those hymns upon waking and when going to bed, and sometimes if you can't sleep at night, to sing the midnight hymn. And he wrote that third hymn, the midnight hymn, because he acknowledged that for whatever reason, a student might not be able to sleep at night, whether from worry or stress or illness. And so he wrote that for those occasions. And each of the hymns has multiple verses, but the final verse is always the doxology as we sing it on Sunday mornings. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise God, all creatures here below. Praise God above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. I also learned that we don't have the original tune that Thomas Ken would sing. We only have the words. And so the tune that we sing is called Old 100th. And it was written by somebody else at a later date. And it just fits perfectly with that doxology. So Thomas Ken's tune has been lost to history, but we now have a multitude of many tunes that could work for it, and we just pick one. I was struck by the ordinariness of these hymns and the occasions on which the students were instructed to sing them. When you wake up, when you go to bed, no matter what. And so we'll sing the morning hymn after this sermon. But I don't know about you, but I don't always wake up singing songs to God or in the mood to sing songs to God. Usually it's more like, a pot of coffee I need, must make some coffee hurriedly, mornings are hard for me, please coffee, coffee, coffee. Amen. That's my morning song. But Thomas Ken wrote something like 7 verses for this morning hymn, and he instructed his students to wake up early and sing them full-voiced to God. He said to pray and sing these verses no matter what was going on in their lives. Whether they slept well or not, whether they felt healthy or not, whether they were worried or not, whether they were happy or not, or maybe they just weren't feeling anything quite yet because it was early. Sing anyway, he said. Praise God anyway. And he said to do the same thing at night. He wrote special verses for the nighttime one. And for many of us, we were raised to say nighttime prayers before we go to bed. So that doesn't seem so odd, but can you imagine singing to yourself as you tuck yourself in at night? What about the times that you can't sleep? Here's where I started to receive a gift from God in preparing this sermon. Because when I learned that Thomas Ken wrote a hymn specifically for students who couldn't sleep at night, I sat up straight in my chair. Because I've had a lot of restless, sleepless nights lately. When the shootings in Dallas happened, I was in the mountains of North Carolina without any cell service. And so I heard the news from one of the speakers on the main stage who shared that 5 police officers had been killed by sniper fire in Dallas and more had been injured. And I remember that the crowd around us that just went silent. All you could hear was the sound of birds and children playing nearby on a playground. I didn't sleep well that night. And when I heard the recording that was filmed after Philando Castile was killed and heard the voice of his girlfriend's daughter in the back seat saying, "It's okay, Mommy, I'm here for you," I didn't sleep well that night either. And when a truck barreled into a crowd in Nice, didn't sleep well that night either. And when I heard that people were attempting a coup in Turkey, I didn't sleep well that night either. Maybe you've had some sleepless nights lately. Whether it's because watching the news continues to be a heartbreaking endeavor, or maybe it's because your loved one is suffering from an illness that you can't heal, or maybe it's because you're not quite sure how to pay the bills this month and you're hoping that things just come together. These are not the easiest times to sing praises to God. These are the days where I find myself praying, "Dear God, why? How can this happen? How can this be?" And yet Thomas Ken, in his great wisdom, followed the direction of the psalmist, who says, "I will praise the Lord who counsels me. Even at night my heart instructs me." And then he says, "At night God's song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life." He instructed us to sing glory to God even in such a time as this. In fact, when Thomas Ken died in 1711, he left instructions that he be buried at dawn and that the doxology be sung at his burial. Even at the grave, we must sing praises to our God, because we know that death is never, not ever, the end of our story. The poet Mary Oliver says, "It is a serious thing to be alive on this fresh morning in the broken world." And it is a serious thing. To keep breathing when it seems that all is lost is a serious thing, and to keep breathing is a triumph in and of itself. So if that's where you're at, just breathing, we're with you. Keep breathing. It is hard work to be alive. It is also hard work to be awake and to be present in the midst of such pain. It would be easy to turn a blind eye and slap on a Band-Aid to the deep wounds that we're witnessing in our world. Just patch it up and go back to sleep. But when we are awake, when we see with the prophet's eyes, when we see with the psalmist's eyes, when we see with the poet's eyes, we see that it really is a very serious thing to be awake on this fresh morning in the broken world. So I don't know about you, but I've been needing some midnight hymns to sing when my heart is breaking. So here's what I've decided about this call to sing God's glories, even at the darkest midnight. One of the greatest acts of courage that we could do as Christians is to sing these praises, Even when our struggles, our trials, our worries, our fears, even when our depression is the loudest voice in our head, even then to sing praises is a courageous act. Because in so doing, we let God know we're still here. We're awake, and we know that the world that we live in is not the kingdom of God, but we haven't lost hope that a new way, a new world, a new family, a new kingdom is coming. When we sing praises to God, we are lifting up our voice in protest against the ways of this world and against the brokenness all around us. So sing praises in the morning and sing praises in the evening. And when you can't sleep at night, sing praises even then, because God is good and God is listening and God is here with us. Alleluia.